you imagine? Can you imagine being the one in charge of building the temple? And if you look through the scriptures, it tells us it took over 11 years. It took billions of dollars, literally tens of thousands of people, even on a monthly basis, well over 30,000 people helped construct this amazing temple for the glory of God. Just imagine if that's, you walked into work tomorrow morning and your boss said, this is what I want you to do. You have all of the resources, you have all of the people, you just need to start, begin digging the hole. How many of you would go like, yeah? Or how many of you would go, you know what, that's sort of a big job. And so that's exactly what was going on. Even though King Solomon was wise, he was young, he had never experienced a project to this size, and yet his father says, look, this has been my desire, this has been my dream, I want to honor God, I want to display his glory to every other nation in the world. I'm not able to complete the task. It's really interesting that God said, David, I don't want you to do it. You're a warrior. There's blood on your hands. This project is for your son. And so David came up with the plans and he came up with the resources and he literally turns to his son and says, son, this is now your task as you become king. And so David offers him some wisdom and advice and really their very beginning, it's a command. This is how I want you to respond. And the first thing he says, and David was encouraging, but he was also warning, but the first thing he says to his son is he says, son, I want you to understand that every time God gives you a task to do, every time God gives you a mission, every time God gives you an assignment, and each one of us here has a mission and an assignment and a task, he says, I want you to understand that any undertaking, there's going to be some things that scare you and overwhelm you and cause you to be fearful. In fact, he very literally says, there is a cost, there is a price, there is going to be opposition to what you are doing. There will always be powers and people that, as God begins to get involved in your life, is going to literally try to stop you or shut you down or tell you you can't accomplish the task at stake. In fact, Scripture says that we have a spiritual enemy, that Satan literally runs around and roars like a lion, seeking to devour those who will listen. And so David says to Solomon, let me just let you know that all of the things that you're going to experience are normal. But if you're going to complete this task, if you're going to change the life of a nation, you need to be a person that learns to be strong and courageous. Literally, Solomon, I need you to be a person that begins to prepare for battle. This is a huge project. This is a big deal. This will change the nation, but you need to be strong even before you set foot onto that building site. And he goes a little bit farther. He says, I also need you to be a person that's courageous. That's a courageous attitude. And as I was thinking about that, that literally means King David was looking at his son and he's saying, literally, you need to persevere. This isn't going to be easy, but if you take one step, moment by moment, day by day, you'll experience all that God longs for you. It's almost as if King David is looking at his son and saying, do you know how to eat an elephant? Do you know how to do that? One bite at a time. I guess you've heard me preach before. But that's exactly what is going on here. Solomon, you need to be strong and you need to be courageous. But it goes farther than that, because I've never really noticed this part of the verse before. It says, be strong and courageous and do the work. Literally, he looks at Solomon and says, I've given you the resources of the plans and the people, but you need to take the time and effort to do what needs to be done. You can't be passive in this project. You need to show up every day ready to do what God has called you to do. And one of the things that struck me as I was walking through this passage is that you and I, as followers of Christ, we have this idea, and I've run into lots of people who say they know Jesus that basically says that, you know what, I accepted Christ as my Lord. I don't need to do anything else. I can just wander through life, and I'm going to grow up to be a discipled Christian. I'm going to be a person that's more and more Christ-like. And I just wanted to challenge you with this idea. Your salvation is from grace. Your salvation is a gift from God. Him loving you and forgiving you and carrying you, as we just sang in that song, it's undeserved and you can't earn it. But he says, if you want to grow to be like me, then there needs to be some work involved. If you want to experience all that God has for you, you will need to make some decisions and choices. You will have to come up with a plan. You will need to decide. If I'm going to be a fully devoted follower of Christ, I'm going to have to say no to some things and yes to some other things. And there are going to be some times in your life that in God's word it says, I don't want you to be involved with this. I don't want you to be in this type of situation. You simply are called not to do it, not because it feels good, not because God is out to get you, but literally because God desires the very best for you. And there are some things in Scripture that God says, simply don't do it. I have something better for you if you will trust me. And that can be a difficult thing at times, because everything in our culture says it's not about being obedient or following after God. It's doing whatever feels good. And all of us, if you're very honest, can understand where that oftentimes leads into some trouble. So he literally says, if you want to be a person that God uses, if you want to experience all that God has for you, then sometimes it's going to take some effort and some practice. Just think about that for a few moments. What are the things that are you doing in your life right now that draw you closer to God? Are you practicing prayer? Are you practicing Bible study? Are you practicing being kind to one another? Are you practicing being still and listening? Because we live in a culture, in a day and age, where people just assume growing up and becoming mature and being fully devoted to God just sort of happens willy-nilly. That's never the case. And so David says to his son, if you want to see this temple built, you're going to have to get out and do some work. You're going to have to put that hard hat on. You're going to have to show up with the plans. You're going to have to talk to your people and builders and leaders. But don't shy away from it. Do the work. But it even goes a little bit farther than that. It says, be strong and courageous, do the work. But what does he say here? And this is one of the reasons why I love Scripture. Because if I were writing Scripture, I wouldn't put in this last verse. Partly just because I'm a guy, and guys are never scared, they're never fearful, they're never anxious, they're never worried. We're manly men, right? Okay, none of you are except for me. I mean, just think about it for a few seconds. None of us is ever going to admit that we're fearful, that we're discouraged, that we get anxious. You know, when you come into church and someone's talking to you, you walk up to them and say, how are you doing? And they use, as I put it, the Christian F word. They say, fine. I'm all good. I have no worries. I think it's really funny. Have you ever argued with your wife on the way to church and you hit the church parking lot and everything's good from that moment on? And then you go through church, and then you get back in your car, and you pull out, and it starts all over again? None of you have done that. Oh, my goodness. I mean, there have been times in our lives where Joyce and I have sort of tussled with things, and it's Communion Sunday, and you know the Word of God says don't take communion when you're at odds with people, and so there's like, hey, Joyce, do you forgive me? Yep, good, okay, let's take care of it now. We've all done that. Solomon is the wisest guy that has ever been. And his father says, as you do this project, one of the things that you need to be aware of, and it's normal, so don't be thrown by it, but just recognize it to be truth. There will be times when you're going to be afraid and discouraged. There are going to be times when your feelings come upon you and you just think, I can't do this anymore. Have you ever been there before? And David says, you know what, Solomon, these are going to be some normal feelings, and they're going to try to break you. He was literally warning him and telling him that there are going to be some people. Have you ever met people that just want to stir the pot? I mean, they get up Monday morning, and they want to make your life miserable, and they get up and bring their spoon to work, and they just start stirring that pot, bringing anxiety, bringing fear, starting a little gossip there, making you wonder if you're losing your mind, and they revel in that. Have you ever met those people before? Do you realize that there are going to be people that come alongside of you that don't want you to succeed? Just as there was for Solomon as he's building this grandiose temple for the glory and to display God's very best. Do you not think there were people that came alongside of him and said, why are you doing this? What are you doing this for? That's way too much money. We could cut corners here. So David says to his son, you need to be careful of being afraid and discouraged. You need to watch out that those feelings that come upon you don't rule and reign in your life. Because if you're honest with yourself, every time that you let feelings be the ones that controls you, it always leads to trouble. I can remember when my mom was a substitute teacher, and I think I've told you this story before. I was in third or fourth grade, and she came in. Never have your mom be your substitute teacher. It is an awful experience. And so we were sitting in the class, and another teacher had come in, and they were doing some math problems on the board, and I looked back, and really it was one of my friends. I think his name was Billy Dennehy. He looked at me and said, "Man, your mother's mad at you." And I looked back, and my mother had this frown on her face. And I sort of ran through, did I do anything wrong today? And literally, by the end of the day, I was so panicked. I mean, when they dropped us off on the bus, usually I was, you know, I'd be running out there and it was going to be a fun day. I was like walking like this. And I walked in the door and I had to wait a little bit longer because my mom was the sub and she came in around 4:15, 4:30. And I looked at her and I said, "Mom, what did I do? You look so mad." My feelings had controlled the whole day. And she looked at me and said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "The look on your face, you were ticked off. I didn't do anything bad. I didn't trip anybody. I didn't kick anybody. I was good kid. Why were you so mad at me?" And she said, "I wasn't mad at you. I was confused at what the teacher was trying to teach." She said that I couldn't understand the problem. But that whole day, I had let those feelings, because Billy Dennehy looked at me and said, "Your mom is really mad at you." It never thought to him that she had no idea what the math problem was. Do you realize that's how things work? You get up and you feel overwhelmed. You get up and you feel discouraged. You walk into your place of work and everyone looks at you and stares at you and they're not saying anything and you assume the worst is taking place. And by the end of the day, you're ready to eat dirt and worms. And David says to his son, "Wait a minute, don't get afraid and don't be discouraged." But how do you combat those feelings? How do you begin to deal with the anxiety and fear that so easily captures us? When you turn on the news in the morning and everything they're telling you is it's all bad and it's all awful and we're going to lose all of our freedoms and we're going to become a communist nation and we're going to be like Russia in the next 3 weeks. How do you deal with that? And it's not easy, and I don't take this as a simple thing, but the truth of the matter is the way you deal with those feelings is that you begin to deal with some truth. Because you may not feel like God could ever pursue you, and you may not think that God climbs mountains to have a relationship with you, and you may never experience or think that God can bring forgiveness and transformation. You may not even believe this morning that God loves you. But David looks at his son and he says, "This is what you do when you feel afraid and when you feel discouraged." He gives them this simple reminder, and it's a simple thing that we take far too lightly. He looks at his son and says, "Solomon, I want you to realize that God is with you. The Lord, my God, is with you." He said that purposely because if you look at David's life, you realize that he had some tremendously amazing situations. Solomon would have remembered the stories of David and Goliath, his dad taking on the giant. Solomon would have heard about all those battles where Israel was about to get wiped out, and yet God entered in and changed the circumstance. Over his lifetime, David had shared who his God was to his son over and over and over again. And sometimes you and I need to have a bigger vision of God. And this isn't a happy, clappy type of thing. This is when we get to the point where we begin to understand the truth, that we have a God that is completely trustworthy, that we have a God that says in the scripture that he will never fail you nor forsake you, but he will be with you until the work is done. Literally, that's the promise of what God says. What if we began to be a people that believed it, that we began to understand that God always has our back, even in the awful storms of life? Our God is with us. And one of the things that struck me as I was walking through this passage of Scripture is I've literally began to ask God to give me a greater vision of who he is and what he wants, because our vision of God should captivate our future. Do you see who your God is? Do you ever stop on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning or a Saturday night and just stop for a few seconds? And do you ever just thank God and believe that you are so fortunate because you have a God that's alive and he's placed you in the midst of his universe? Do you ever arrange your life around those truths? So when you feel like you're about to drown, you can stop and say, wait a minute, I have a God that has said he will lift me out of the muck and mire. Do you ever stop and think, you know what, I'm not going to let my feelings rule in this. I'm going to learn to trust in God. I'm going to go back to the 23rd Psalm where it says, he's the good shepherd and I'm the sheep. And he watches over us and he takes care of us and he binds our wounds and he calls us by name and he loves us and pursues us. He wraps his arms around us. He brings forgiveness when we need to be forgiven. And even when we fail, he brings us back over and over again. Do you arrange God's truth in your life? Do you have something on your wall that says, don't fear, for I am with you, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago? Do you believe that the Word of God says he's not going to forsake you in your home and in your marriage and in your hearts? Because this is what Solomon needed to hear. And unfortunately, if you go through the rest of Solomon's life, there are times when he believed that truth, but there was a lot of times where he sidestepped it. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have Scripture, to show us how to do life and not necessarily follow the models that are given. But then it goes a little bit farther than that. He says, I want you to be strong and courageous. I want you to do the work. Take the time. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. He will be with you all the time until the work is complete. I think for those of us who are followers of Christ, that means the day we die is when the work is complete. And even then, he ushers us into the presence of God. But it goes a little bit farther than that. Because even if you're arranging your life with this truth, even if you're believing the right types of beliefs, even if you're living those beliefs out, do you realize in the midst of life you need other people? And so at the end of this verse, David looks at his son and says, son, you are not going to do this on your own. And just stop and think about that, because a lot of us, how many of you grew up with a Lone Ranger? How many of you grew up with a rifleman? I'm amazed. I mean, he knocked out so many people every single week all by himself. It didn't matter what was going on. How many of you remember First Blood 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? Do you remember those movies? Some of you do. One? They didn't make all the other ones, you know. It's only at 5. He's only 78 at this point. But the fact of the matter is, with all of Solomon's wisdom, with all of his resources, with all of his abilities, David stops the story and says, and Solomon, you cannot do this on your own. He says there are divisions of priests and Levites ready to go to work on the temple of God. He says, David, there are skilled laborers and skilled craftsmen that can do great and amazing things, and they're ready to do all the work that needs to be done. You just need to ask them. He literally says, every situation that you face, there are going to be people that have the wisdom and discernment and the abilities to take the next steps when you don't know. He says, and all of the officials and all the people will obey your every command. And I know for some of us, you were wishing you were the king, because that makes it easier for people to obey. But one of the things I wanted you to realize that even though Solomon was the king, David said that there's a group of people around you that will work with you. And David was really just being an encourager right now. And one of the things that strike me as I was going through those couple of verses, do you know and do you realize that every single person here needs affirmation? Every single person here needs, there are times in our lives where we need someone to come alongside of us and say, you know what, you don't need to be fearful, you don't need to be anxious, hey, I'm with you in this, let me walk together, I won't even say anything, I'll just be there for you. do you realize that every single person that King David lined up for his son was there to be an encourager to you? And I want to ask you, what type of person are you? Are you an encourager? Or are you one of those persons that have that great ability to see all the things that are wrong? And some of us are gifted at that. Just imagine if we became the church where we became encouragers one another, or that we came and surrounded ourselves. What if we became the people that learned to ask for help when we need help? Do you think that would change your circumstances and your situations? And ladies, let me be honest with you, I think you have a leg up on that, because most of us as men aren't going to ask for help. If the truck fell down on us today, if you came out and noticed the tire was on our chest, we would look at you and our last breath would be, "I'm okay." And you'd say something like, "Should I call help?" And we'd go, no, we can handle it. Isn't that how we respond to things? And David says, you and I need people, and the body of Christ needs people. And I just want to ask you, are you an encourager? Do you look for the good in circumstances and people? Do you come alongside of people and say, you know what, I've been there too. I know what it is to be anxious. I know what it is to be fearful. I know what it is to be. I have a person in my life that is amazing to me. Every single week, in the midst of every conversation that we have, it ends with, what do you have going on this week and how can I help you? And it's taken a long time for me to realize that that person is serious. And we're beginning to say, hey, this is how you can help me. And it goes back and forth together. What if you and I became those type of people? What's going on in your life and how can I help you? This is what Solomon needed to make the temple happen. And so let me just challenge you with a few things. Are you an encourager? Who are your peeps that you've surrounded yourself with? Who are the people God is bringing into your life? Do you open doors and build those relationships? And it can be scary to do, and sometimes when you're hurt, you have a tendency to push those away. But God designed us to live with one another. Are you brave and courageous? Are you doing the work? Are you making those choices that you need to make as followers of Christ? Are you asking God to give you a bigger vision of himself? And some of you may be sitting here today and you're not sure about this whole God thing, and I want to challenge you, because the Word of God says if we really want to see who God is and we ask him to reveal himself, he'll do it. So you may not be sure about this whole God thing, but if you ask him to show up, he'll do it if that's what you desire. But some of us as followers of Christ need to not ask that problems would leave. We need to start asking that God would give us a bigger vision of who he is. Because it says here that he will never fail us nor forsake us. And he will walk with us through life if we will allow him to. And lastly, I want to ask you who your people are. Who are the people that you are beginning to recognize God has put in your life to encourage you and to walk with you and to pick you up when it gets rocky and hard? And hopefully it's your spouse, or hopefully it's someone close to you, but do you realize the one thing that you and I can do as followers of Christ is to be chosen family for our friends and our coworkers who don't have a safe place or kind people to bounce things off of? And yet the Word of God says this is who we are and this is what we're called to be. So this week, be strong and courageous and do the work. And don't be afraid and be discouraged because your God is with you. And recognize he has surrounded you with people that will hold you up. And that's one of the things that we're going to learn to do in this upcoming year. And it takes practice and it takes effort and it takes purpose. But it will change and transform us as a people. In us as a community. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we stand in awe of your goodness today, and we've gone through this passage of scripture pretty quickly. But I think everybody who reads these couple of verses has been in that place. And if we've never been there, one of the things I know that you're going to do is you're going to lead us into those places so that we can learn that you're trustworthy and good. And you want to move in such a way that we begin to be the body of Christ. Father, would you give us a greater vision of who you are? Would you allow us to see moments and glimpses of your glory that we understand that you are trustworthy and you are steadfast and you are our comfort and you don't drop us on our heads when we mess up, but you pick us up and shake us off and you bring redemption and restoration and forgiveness. Father, would you just be real? We're not sure what that looks like sometimes, but we know that you are the God who knows us intimately and knows exactly what would make the difference. Father, would you come in right now? Would you remind us as we're sitting here today that we're not doing it as a group of individuals, but you said that we're a herd of sheep, that we're part of a congregation. And Lord, we just confess to you that's sometimes a scary thing because we're not sure what that looks like in our culture and we live pretty isolated lives. Would you begin to restore in us a compassion and love for one another? Not just, you know, we know we're to love people, sort of the Sunday school answer. But Lord, would you bring some depth into us? Would you make us risk takers as far as relationships are concerned? Would you give us the courage to try one more time, even in the midst of the hurt? Father, I guess I'm asking that you would change us to be the people you've called us to be. And Lord, I thank you for all that you're going to do this day. Father, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, may you speak to us this morning afresh and anew, that we will see you and see what you've called us to be and do and call us to be the body of Christ. Father, I thank you for everything you're going to accomplish in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you raise, stand for the benediction? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, may you leave here today knowing the God who David worshiped and Solomon worshiped, that he is steadfast and faithful. And all of God's people said, amen. Before you leave, you need to practice once again. Imagine you're at sheets and just turn and talk to the person next to you. This is practicing to be the body of Christ.